Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor, and we've got a really cool guest today, a pro, Lockie Barker. Welcome to Let's Talk Golf on Coast Access Radio. How you doing?
Good, Penny. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, look, listeners, you may not know, but Lockie, you're a bit of an Aussie. Half and half, though, aren't you?
Yeah. I've got some New Zealand blood in me.
Yay.
Yeah, my dad is from over there, so I like to think of myself as a Kiwi a little bit.
That'd be why you're a good golfer.
Exactly right.
Exactly. I think
you're spot on.
Nailed it. So I came across Lockie when I got the right royal honour of playing in the Pro-Am for the Paraparamu Beach Golf Course Championship in recent times, which was the first in some time. And Lockie, you were in there playing. And so how's this Pro-Am thing work? Because that was like a lot of people I've mentioned it to going, oh, well, da da da. And they're like, what's a pro? How does it work? Because, you know, these sort of things don't happen over here very much.
Yeah, so it's the tournament at Paraparaumu was through the Australian tour, or the Australasian tour. So we have the majority of our events in Australia, and there's two or three in New Zealand. So that was the first time it had been back there in, I'm not sure, 20 years or something like that. So it would have been new for the area to have us pros come and play a tournament. Our tournament was Thursday to Sunday, but we have the sponsors Pro-Am Day on Wednesday. So that's where we met and played our round of golf. So that's more of guys and girls like yourself get to play with a pro before the tournament starts. So, yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Oh, and so I've been telling people as I've been wearing my, you know, the freebie T-shirt I got after the event, saying that, you know, if as a golfer, it's my new life, golfing life highlight. It is one thing, you know, it's really cool to watch you pros on TV and, you know, from the sidelines, but to play around and just feel like, you know, have my moment there in the sunshine. And so I guess for you, that day was the first time you'd played the course. Was it a bit of a recce day and you're mapping out your kind of course management for the tournament?
Yeah, well, so tournament golf, we play. I still haven't been home since then, so we sort of play tournaments every week. And it's a Monday. Monday is our travel day. Tuesday is our, like, put your head in your notebook, learn the golf course, figure out your strategy. But you do it by yourself, sort of with your caddy, or if you don't have a caddy, just by yourself with your friends. And Wednesday is the sponsors day, which is more about you guys. So we try and have fun with you and obviously play some good golf and prepare for our tournament, but also try and give you some insight into our life and what it's like on tour. And then we play the tournament, and then Monday we fly to the next venue.
And then
we repeat the whole process.
So like after the, so Saturday is the finals day, bit of champagne popping, you hope.
Yeah, of course. If champagne's flowing, things are good.
Oh, that's great. So how many years have you been a pro for?
I'm coming up to 4 years as a pro. I'm 26 now. So I turned pro in 2022 after I went to college in America. So I did that for 5 years, got a degree, and then turned pro, and I've had a bit of success doing that. So I'm still going at it, and we'll hopefully have a long career into the future.
Well, and that's the great thing about golf, isn't it? You know, you could be the Justin Rose and still be, you know, cracking into that top 10 and nailing these tournaments.
Exactly right. You think, well, most sports, I know New Zealanders like their rugby, the 26 is someone at the peak or even starting to almost, hopefully they haven't been injured too much, but they're getting probably more than halfway through their career, whereas golf, oftentimes it's about 35, 36 when people start to hit their prime. So I'd still say I'm a very young professional, which is really cool, knowing that I have my best years ahead of me.
So is I hope that there is there like kind of like a good kind of set of people who are in that pro? You're a bit of a network. Is it a bit of a club?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How's it? You know, it's a whole lot of guys, different ages. Yeah, it's like, is it just like a constant road trip?
It is. It is like a big road trip. There's obviously a lot of the same guys doing the same travel. Some play some play others. So there's a bit of turnover between the faces you see out there. But for the majority of the time, I've got a little core group from South Australia that we all travel together and help each other out when we need it. Although we're competitors and we madly want to beat each other, we know it's nice to have friends out there that you can lean on, because it can be lonely and challenging at times. So, yeah, having good friends on the tour is really important, and we all understand that.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine that'd be really important. You know, as competitive as you are, you know, what and the competitions for on the course. You know, like Adelaide is home for you.
Yeah.
And so you haven't been home for weeks. How many weeks out of the year are you on the road?
I think last year I was home for 8 weeks. So
out of 52.
It's not very many. Out of 52, yeah.
The weeds must be terrible at your place.
Luckily I have people to help me out with that.
Lots of rough, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. But no, it's one of those things that as life progresses and my situation changes. I'm a single man at the moment, so I have no obligations at home, so I'm happy to stay on the road. But if it changes, you've got to be a bit more selective with your schedule and find that work-life balance. But now for me, it's full-on golf. Do everything I can to progress my career as far as I can, hopefully make it to the PGA Tour or the European Tour.
Yeah, so what are your goals? Have you got some, like, you know, how do you all approach it? Do you go, right, this year's goal, crack this, earn this, get this card, get that? What are the goals of a pro?
The goals, you'd say there's three different types of goals with professional golf. You'd have your core outcome goals, like winning golf tournaments, trying to get tour cards or certain milestones. Like, I want to be a top 10 player in the world. That's my goal. And play on one of the major tours, which would be the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour, or the LIV Tour as well. I'd be very open to that as well. So that'd be like a big outcome, and say, I want to win 2 golf tournaments this week on those tours. Then you got secondary goals. How am I going to improve that? Okay, well, I need to improve my putting from 5 to 15 feet. So I want to, over the course of the year, I want to improve my strokes gained putting to average 1 stroke gained per round throughout the year, because that would be the core way that I am going to improve my scores and get the results I want to get.
Right.
And then from there, the level down from that would be, okay, in my practice, I'm going to have much better structure in the drills I do between 5 feet and 15 feet in order to improve my results on the course, in order to get the outcome goals I want to get. So you sort of have 3 layers of goals, and you need to make them add up, because often everyone wants to be the best player in the world, but their day-to-day activities don't align with that. So, it's important to keep your head down in your work. I'm sure everyone can relate to that in what they do. So same goes for golf.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember saying, I'm not sure if it was the Saturday or Sunday, but, you know, you'd finished your round, and then as I was walking along, I saw you out there on the green. After you'd done your round, you were back out on that practice green at Paraparumu.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I started the tournament off fairly well. I think I had a good day on Thursday, not a bad day on Friday. And on Saturday, I might have had a bad day, and I attributed it to my putting.
Yeah.
I remember it was quite windy on Thursday and Friday, and I think I was getting a bit – my technique was getting a little bit out of whack due to the wind, because over time it changes through conditions and how you try and deal with that. Yeah. And so I was trying to do a little bit of what I call maintenance. We have a few drills that you revert back to after a long day on the course to get you aligned, starting the ball online and hitting putts like you normally do. So that was what I was doing there, straight back on the green, straightening it out.
Okay, this is good to know.
Yeah, because you know what it's like. You get there,
yes,
and you'll be hitting it one way, and by the end of the day after the round, you'll be hitting it completely different. And that's the same for us. So it's a fluid game. It changes over time, but as pros, we want to be as predictable and repeatable as we can. So we have little tools to help us do that. So I call those my maintenance drills. So you always do them every day, no matter if you play great or play poorly.
All right.
But so, often you need them when you play poorly.
It's like get back in the zone. So I'll share with the listeners how on about the second to last hole that we were playing on our 18-hole round, and I'd never played paraparaumi before, and everybody would go, "Ooh, it's tough." But actually, you know, I really loved it. Man, I was tired afterwards, though. All those rolling hills to go up and down.
A lot of up and down. I noticed that as well.
So we were on a green, and because I'm such a high handicapper, that you were saying, right, Penny, you got to get this one in. Your maximum points if you get that. I don't know. Was it a 3-4 meter putt?
I think it was a 4-pointer. It was for a par, I think, Penny. On the fourth hole. Yeah. It was the fourth hole. And I think I had a ball marker on the green.
Yeah. So I've been sharing this story because this is when you're an amateur playing with the pro, you still can't help yourself. But I just been telling the story because it was such the example for me of how well yourself and pros can read a green. What happened was there's this long bit of space between me and the hole, and then you're going, so what are you going to do here, Penn? How are you reading it? And I'm like, reading it? I can't read it. I'm just going to hit it at the hole. And
hit it at the hole, it'll go in, obviously.
Because that's what I usually do with my 3 or 4 putts. And you were like, no, it's going, would you say, like right to left or left to right?
Yeah,
and I was like,
is
that? I don't see it, Lockie. And then you put your marker sort of probably about, say it's 4 metres. It was about 3 metres up. You then went about 30 centimetres to the left. And you put the marker there and you went, hit the ball there, Penny. And I went, what? No, I don't see it. So I was debating you. And of course, our other player companions were like going, you're arguing with Lockie, the pro. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't see it. And anyway, but what you didn't know that was in my head was, how am I even going to get it to that coin? I can't expect I'll get it to that coin. Anyway, I tried. I hit it to the coin, bang on, it turned and went in the hole. And I just went, wow, pros. And how did you get so good at learning to read a green?
Well, that's funny. That was an amazing moment for me too. I enjoyed that very much. You put your faith in me, you executed, and it dropped in, icing on the cake, which doesn't always happen. So well done.
Yeah.
How did I get so good at things like that? It's like, how did you get so good at what you excel in? You do it over time. I knew I was quite good at it, though. You know, when you start doing it, I was like, I'm picking up at this quicker than most and doing better than most. But reading a green is I putt almost every day. Greens change, obviously, and some are easier to read than others for me, but you get used to knowing what it looks like. When as a 2% slope on the green, you're like, okay, this is going to have to start here and be hit with this speed, and it should follow the track into the hole. But with putting, there's three core elements to it. You've got your read, obviously, which we were talking about, being able to see how it's going to break. And then once you've done that, you pick the line, and you hope you can start the ball on that line. So if you can read it, you then have to start it on that line and hit it with the right speed for it to go in. So if you can understand the three elements of putting and get good at matching them up, then you'll have a lot of success. Like when you turn the TV on and watch the golf, it looks like it's so easy, but they've spent hours and hours perfecting that little recipe. So, yeah, we're always practicing putting more than anything else. I think the more I've played, the more I practice my putting.
And so I suppose that's like what you're picking up on that Wednesday before you start the tournament. You're out going, what's this green doing? Like, I found the greens at Paraparumi were like, I've been describing them to people as like they were satin.
Well, they were quick, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Quick, fast, flat, and so that's where the faster the green is, the more important pace is, because you get a little bit wrong and it rolls 6, 7 feet past, and then the putt coming back is hard to make, and all of a sudden you look like a fool when you three putt and four putt. So, I always say pace is the most important, but reading the green is also very important, because if, like, I saw your putt there, we read it right, you hole it, bang. But for me, that confirms that I read the putt right. So that's good for me as well as for you. So thank you for your help there.
I just want to say to punters that our team got ninth out of the 22 pro-am teams, didn't we? Eh? Not
Not
bad.
bad,
Not bad.
not bad, Penny. Carried by you. You did all the hard yards for us.
That's because I had the high handicap made. But So that was cool. And I have to say, I was playing yet again the other day myself, and probably about a 5 meter putt and up from the just off the rough. And my playing buddy in a match said, oh, shall I take the flag out? And we went, oh, no, I'm not going to make that. I made it. So I think that's my new little, like, bang. That's my new little phrase. Oh, it's okay. I'm not going to make it. Relax.
That makes you calm. You're like, oh, I'm not going to make it. It's okay.
Just,
I'm
relaxed
now.
No pressure.
Bang. No pressure.
So
it's important to take the pressure off yourself.
Aside from, oh, now, I tell you what, I really interested in you because, like, constantly traveling, you know, do you have your whole diary booked out for the whole year? And who does all that for you? Like, does the golfing kind of club that you're going to next, or who does all that? Because it must be a lot.
I do it.
Oh.
I like to be in charge of it, because then I know my own schedule. And I can change it on the go. If I know a lot of guys, like a PGA Tour guy who's full on, a lot more endorsement. They might have a lot of things they have to do off the golf course that fill up their day a little bit more. They'll have a travel agent or even a personal assistant, like, oi, you're going to the airport now, go to this hotel, check in here, everything's booked. But I book my own travel, so I can control my schedule, change it as I want. But you have to be on top of it, because I think I've done 6, 7 weeks in a row now, and you book up to a certain point, and then you might have a big week where you're playing well and you're flat out until Sunday night, and then you're like, oh man, I haven't booked anything. I've booked next week, but 2 weeks ahead's coming up really quick now. So you got to stay on top of it, make sure you keep everything in order. But yeah, I enjoy doing that. I like the logistics side of it. But a lot of people do it differently. They have someone who does it for them. But on the Australian tour, a lot of the guys are their own travel agents.
All right. So on the road, you're also probably your own nutritionist.
Of course.
Coach, training, manager. It's quite a lot of different skills, isn't
But say the week after I saw you, we went down to the New Zealand Open, which was a big week, and then up to Auckland for another event. My coach and my trainer came. So we had a week there where we had a little reset. They could cook some nice meals. He said, how's everything been going with nutritionally? How have you been feeling? Body looks good. We had some good gym sessions and saw the golf coach keep the swing in order. So it's good to check in we say 3 or 4 weeks, make sure you keep yourself on track. Otherwise, it's when you're traveling, it can be difficult to do all the right things. You might not have access to a good gym, or you might end up eating out often. And so having the discipline to do the right things week in, week out is very important.
It's hard enough when you're at home, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, and so you were saying when we were playing that you have sponsors. So how does all that work? So, you know, you've actually you were having the cap for the balls, and you had socks or what are all the different sponsors? I think this is a good chance for you to bit of a shout out to who supports Lockie.
Of course, of course. So I've had a long time clothing sponsor.
Oh, okay.
The Golf Gods.
They pop up on my Facebook a lot.
Yeah. They do my apparel. They do a really good job, and they've supported me ever since I turned pro. They said we'd love to get on board with you and give you some great clothing to wear. So they've been with me the whole time. Clubs wise, that's another big thing because we go through a lot of gear, like golf balls, and every tournament, two or three dozen balls.
Really, I'm a one ball around person.
Yeah. But you know, when we're playing well, we've got to sign golf balls, give them to kids, stuff like that. If they get scuffed up, can't use that, got to get a new one. So you end up going through a few golf balls. So Callaway is my club, and like they do balls, gloves, hats, clubs, and anything I need in that regard, they will help me out. And I represent them. So when I do well and win tournaments holding trophies, the Callaway hat's on, or I've got the driver in my hand, and everyone goes, wow, he hits that really good. I'm going to go buy one. Yeah. So that's the idea.
Yeah.
So I think the old car racing saying is like, win on Sunday, sell on Monday. So that's like they want the winner to use their clubs. So they'll try and get as many guys on tour as they can to use their stuff.
And
so
you've got a pretty long drive, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Driver is an asset for me.
Yep.
So long drives are great, but holing putts is even better. Yep. As I've got a little older and matured, putting is the most influential part of the game to scoring.
Yeah. So there is the saying, what is it? That's the...
Yeah. Drive for show, putt for dough.
Yeah.
Spot on.
So I like to say, oh, for the ham, the Christmas ham. And then
yes, for the ham. Penny the Hamburglar.
I'm still telling that story about winning two hams on the golf course at Christmas time, two different clubs, but you know. And so then there's the all the gear, no idea. That'd probably be another one to be for me, but you know.
Yeah, a lot of people like to improve their golf by just buying new gear, which if you have the right gear, it can definitely help. But practice and a bit of coaching from your local professional, that definitely goes a long way.
Yeah. I've, come across people I play with who, you know, have a little catch-up coaching session now and again, and they come back kind of refocused. You know, there's always these, like there's so many different moving parts in terms of your physiology, interacting with the club and the ball, and any one of those can need a bit of correction and tweaking. So, even for us amateurs.
And the more I'll continue. So.
No, I was just going to say, so a question I always ask people, and I did ask you this when we were playing, so if you could have your dream round of golf, who would you be playing in your team? And don't count me in, I won't be there. So who would it be and where would you be playing?
Easy one for where I'd be playing. I'd be playing at Augusta National.
Ooh, yeah.
I would love to play Augusta, have never played it. Ideally, I'd be playing in the Masters. So the dream round in the Masters tournament.
Lockie Barker. Here he comes.
Me.
Teeing up.
Teeing up next to Mr. Tiger Woods.
Yes.
On the other side, I've got Mr. John Daly. I want to see how these two play golf differently. Both legends of their time, but they did it in a completely different way. And the fourth one's one I've tossed up with.
Yeah.
Would it be a friend? But I'm like, no, we're at the Masters, so I've set the scene, so it has to be another professional.
Yeah.
And a guy who I really admire and I've wanted to model my golf game on a little bit is Xander Shoffley. So he would be the fourth. It would be three professional golfers. So I've got John Daly, the character, Tiger Woods, the idol, and Xander Shoffley is who I want to model my game on. So
that would be my
dream round of golf.
Yeah.
And Kenny would be, you'd be caddying for me. You'd be on the bag and you're caddying.
I will caddy. I'll get myself there and I will caddy for you at Augusta. Imagine how cool that would be.
And you could tell Tiger about your three wood.
I know. I call my three wood Tiger, because it's, yeah, you know, yeah, Wood, obviously.
Tiger Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going great. But, oh, and Lockie, I've also invested in, you know, buying myself out of trouble, a new 4 hybrid, which is going gangbusters, mate.
Loving gangbusters. It. Good
loving
job.
Loving it. Like a missile.
Magic weapon, the missile.
The missile. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, hey, and so your golf's going good. You're feeling good about how it's all coming together this season?
Yep, golf is going well. I've done really well without winning a tournament this year.
Yeah.
So I've secured my card again for next year with a fairly high category, which is good.
Yeah.
And coming up, it's going to go into the Northern Hemisphere summer. So I'll probably spend a bit of time in the US and the UK, and I'm going to go to European Tour Q School and attempt to secure my status on the European Tour this year. That would be really cool. That's really? One of my big outcome goals.
Oh, yeah. So what countries might you get to play in Europe?
All of them, literally all of them. And that sort of encompasses a lot of Middle Eastern countries as well. So you play in Dubai and Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and Qatar, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Australian Open and the Australian PGA are also on the DP World Tour. So they sort of go all over the world.
Wow. How cool is that? So when will you start on that round?
Well, hopefully. I've got to get – so Q School is where you go to get your tour card. That's your job interview.
Right.
For us golfers, except it's you only get one chance every year.
So where do they have that?
They'll have that in Spain. So that'll be in Spain.
Oh.
Yep.
Cool.
So and that'll probably be in August, I think. June, July, August, that time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we need to check in for another one of these interviews when you're on the European tour and you can tell us about the European golf courses.
That would be great.
Yeah, because I played.
I would love to tell you all about when I
played in Italy once, and you know when I say that to people, people go, "Oh wow, it is. It was just beautiful, surrounded by the Italian villages and Rapallo." Beautiful. So,
I've never been to Italy. I would love to play golf there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, they're golf mad there. Everyone's golf mad. Look, we're going to put a wrap on this. It has been such a pleasure because, like, honestly. Folks, Lockie is such a lovely person to play with, a great golfer. So we really wish you the best. You know, not just because you're part Kiwi. We support the Aussies too, and hoping that you have a really good season ahead, and also just a bit of a good break in between things too, Lockie. So thank you so much for coming on. Good luck for you with your schedule and stuff. And anything you wanted to add before we chime out of here?
That's all right. All good by me, Penny. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and thanks to everyone for listening. I just would like to add, I really enjoyed my time on the Kapiti Coast.
Yeah, will you be back again next year?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Good.
If the tournament is on at Parapara-Umu, I'll be there with bells on.
Great.
I loved it. So.
Yeah.
Can't wait to come back and play with you in the Pro-Am next year.
Yes. Oh, I've been telling people we got to do this next year. So I'll be definitely tapping in for that one, please. Great to talk to you again. And thank you very much to all the listeners to listening to another episode of Let's Talk Golf with your host, Penny Gaylor. And today's guest was Lockie Barker. Thank you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.